In the hellish theater of the 1992 to 1996 siege of Sarajevo, where Bosnian Serb forces encircled the city, the longest urban siege in the history of modern warfare, a grotesque sideshow allegedly unfolded. Reportedly, wealthy foreigners, Italians, Americans, Russians, Canadians, allegedly shelled out 70,000 to 88,000 euros per jaunt, flying from Trieste to Belgrade, then helicoptered to sniper nests in the hills above Sarajevo. Guided by Serbian state security operatives like the convicted war criminal Jovica Stanisic, they took aim at unarmed women, men, and children, scurrying along Sniper Alley with premium fees tacked on for the trophy of a child's kill.
Among the evidence is testimony from a former Bosnian military intelligence officer who documented earlier reports of so-called war safaris that came from a Serbian prisoner of war.
Of course, there are documents about this. I remember at least three of them. One is the record of his interrogation, another is the record of the follow-up interrogation, and the third is an analysis I prepared, which explained the phenomenon of the war safari, a term mentioned for the first time on the Sarajevo battlefield.
Bosnian authorities say they launched an investigation 3 years ago, but it appears to have stalled.
Eyewitness accounts from the era resurfaced in Italian prosecutor Alessandro Gobbi's ongoing Milan investigation, peeling back layers of complicity that reek of untouched privilege. Former U.S. Marine John Jordan, testifying at The Hague in 2007, described the deliberate targeting of the vulnerable. Quote, if a family was walking, it would be the youngest. End quote. Bosnian intelligence officer Edin Subasic, capturing a Serbian soldier in 1993, uncovered the operation's logistics, weekend rotations, spotters calling shots, victims priced like quarry at auction. Italian military intelligence confirmed the trips in 1994 after Subasic's tip-off, halting them within months, yet no prosecutions followed until now, with journalist Ezio Gavazzini's 17-page dossier naming five Italian suspects and demanding accountability for this peak of depravity.
What we can say is that there were certainly civilians who shot at the people, at the population of Sarajevo, paying for this kind of activity.
U.S. Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna has also launched a parallel probe into American involvement, vowing to drag any implicated elites into the light. The Sarajevo abomination didn't slither from the ether. It's a venomous thread where the powerful have long stalked the powerless for sport, their wealth a license to dehumanize. Throughout the 20th century, persistent rumors alleged that European royalty and high aristocracy participated in clandestine human hunts on private estates, treating poachers, trespassers, or abducted locals as live quarry in macabre rituals echoing medieval traditions. Similar claims surfaced in 1950s Bavaria, where a minor Habsburg prince was said to have hosted weekend Jagdspiel on sealed forest tracks, with East German refugees allegedly released at dawn for pursuit by rifle-armed guests. Only disappearances and no prosecutions or verified bodies ever materialized. Yet the pattern, remote land, absolute privacy, and elite impunity mirrors the Sarajevo safaris, suggesting a continuum of aristocratic blood sport shielded by wealth and silence. The elite's boredom births monsters, and the vulnerable have become mere moving targets in an unending safari of the damned. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Journal. I'm excited that you guys are all joining me today. Things are kind of strange. Things are really strange because as of right now, Twitter is down, and I don't know what to make of any of this. Twitter seems to be coming up, and then it seems to be going down, and we really just don't know what the heck is going on. So it was kind of a weird morning for me, but I'm glad you're all joining me today. A lot happening. Feels good to be back in my chair. Thanks to Rob Dew for filling in for me on Friday and Monday. Obviously, a lot going on over here. We were still breaking news, though, of course, and I will dive into that on today's show as well. But again, a lot happening today. Folks, if you're on X right now and you're wondering what the heck is going on, well, you're not alone. It looked like Cloudflare, I believe that's the group, is down. Citizen Free Press, obviously one of my favorite websites to go to, that's down too. So a lot of things not working out today. Not a lot of things, but the good thing is we're here. We're here. We're going to bring you a lot. We got a lot going on. Internet is down. Cloudflare is obviously the issue here. Twitter's down. ChatGPT. I mean, there's so much down. But we're on. We're on Rumble right now. We're excited about that as well. If you haven't done so already and you want to watch, maybe you're listening radio only right now and you want to watch, check us out on Rumble. You could find us on Alex Jones TV right now. Folks, in the meantime, though, I wanted to dive into some of the news stories that are going on right now, because we got our eyes on the White House. Later today, President Trump is meeting with the Crown Prince and Prime Minister of Saudi Arabia at 11:15 a.m. Eastern Time. Now, this comes after the UN has just approved his plans for Gaza. So we look forward to seeing what the president's going to be discussing there, of course. And we'll keep our eye on that. And we'll bring it to you if anything interesting does seem to pop up. But President Trump, well, a lot happening there with President Donald Trump over the week. Specifically, though, yesterday, he met with the owners of McDonald's. And guys, do we have that soundbite? Because I know Twitter's been down, so it's been a little rough around here. We don't have the soundbite. But literally, I was watching, and guys, I couldn't stop laughing. It was so funny to hear the president talking about affordability, talk about your Big Macs, talk about that, what is it called, the filet fish. Needs more tartar sauce. I mean, he was really taking advantage of this opportunity to hash it out with upper management over at McDonald's. And it was interesting to sit back and watch. But he specifically went over in detail and outlined how, well, a lot of things are really messed up over at McDonald's right now. And he was not happy about this, specifically the prices. Blaming it all on Joe Biden, saying that the prices are up at McDonald's, even though they're going down under his administration, that in fact they are up because of Joe Biden, all that he has done. But then he also reassured the owners that he is going to probably see prices start to fall very, very soon due to the fact that oil is getting extremely cheap right now. President projecting that he thinks it's going to be about $2 a gallon as well. Right now, we're floating around $2.50, I think it is, on average all across the country. So he believes it's going to go even lower to $2 a gallon. That's something we look forward to. Also, folks, I know I didn't tease this yet, so let me just give you a break into what we can expect on this show. In about 20 minutes, I'm going to be joined by Sam Shoemade because, you know, not many people remember. Remember when there was that Cybertruck that exploded outside of Trump Tower in Las Vegas? Well, the reason why I bring it up is I've been keeping my eye on that. I've got like a calendar where I go and I follow up on stories to make sure that even though we've moved on in the news cycle, that I always go back to stories, the unanswered questions. And, well, I learned while going through a document that was put out by the Las Vegas Police Department that, interesting enough, the manifesto from the individual, Matt Livesburg, was all of a sudden now classified. So before I went public with this and released that snippet on X, I reached out. I reached out specifically to the Department of War for comment because it was classified by the Department of War. And
although they did assure me they would get back to me, they didn't actually get back to me. So we've got a lot to discuss there with Sam Schumi, and I'm looking forward to having him on the show. As many of you know, Sam was the one who broke that story for the country when in regards to, you know, Matt's attempts to reach out to the media, to reach out to Sean Ryan. And so he went on Sean Ryan's show and read the email that was sent to him prior to that massive explosion outside of Trump Tower. So we will be covering, obviously, that with Sam Schumate at about 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Here's the footage, folks. It was insane. I know a lot of people are floating a lot of theories out there in regards to what happened here. Is Matt still alive? He might possibly be. I'm going to ask Sam about that because I've got a lot of questions in regards to that. And this report, you know, I'll give Las Vegas PD credit because they at least are trying to get to the bottom of this. But in the report itself, they pretty much just say, yeah, it's not our fault. The FBI was actually the ones that shut this down. I'll also be joined by Ken Silva later on in the program as well, because the interesting part to all of this today's show, if you follow me on X, if you've been following me on Alex's show, because I've been on Alex's show a couple times to discuss this, we have exclusively obtained, well, a part of Miranda Devine and Tucker Carlson as well have also obtained this document, but we've received a document and it outlines Thomas Crooks. Now, as many of you guys know at home, Thomas Crooks is an individual who was trying to assassinate President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. We know that. But there's been a lot of questions about who Crooks actually was and why a man like himself, a young man like himself, would do the action that he did that day. Now, of course, the FBI at the time when it was, you know, other leadership, and we're still not getting transparency with current leadership, but under other leadership, well, we learned a lot. We learned a lot. We learned that there was a massive cover-up, obviously. A lot of us insinuated that. We knew that was probably going to happen, but now we have the evidence. So on Friday morning, I received a document from a source, and in that document that was given to both Tucker Carlson and Miranda Devine, I learned who Thomas Crooks was. The FBI originally said, oh, no, he doesn't have a online footprint. But he does. And I know he does now because I have a document, dozens and dozens of pages, that show that Thomas Crooks, in fact, did have an online presence. Now, of course, under the previous leadership, they tried to pin him as a right winger. But what they left out is a very important part. Thomas Crooks made a massive changeover from a Trump supporter to a left winger. And it all happened around the same time as the pandemic ended. So I want to keep you all informed. I'm going to be going through the screenshots, the screen grabs, because I've got it all. And we're going to be breaking that down. Ken's been following the story as well. He's been all over Thomas Crooks. And so I just kind of want to get his background information on it as I break down my report. And I look forward to doing that in about an hour, of course, with Ken. But it's not just that we're doing today. It's not just that. There's been a lot of false narratives being spun in the media about Nigeria, specifically the genocide against Christians. And although President Trump has come out and he's spoken against it, he did so obviously at the end of last month, going towards the beginning of this month. The media is saying, oh, no, now the Nigerian government, they're handling everything. But are they really? Well, we're going to have somebody here to speak about that. He runs the truthnigeria.com website. He is actually just on the ground in Nigeria. I was texting with him while he was there. And I said, hey, listen, watching Fox, and there was just someone on air saying from a level of expertise that the Nigerian government is actually arresting these Islamic terrorists. Is that true? Well, he's going to join us today to tell us if that's true or not. Jude Sapal is his name. Interesting enough, folks, it's going to be an incredible interview because this has been ongoing for many, many years now. He has been on the ground trying to do his very best to rescue and save these people and train them. So he'll be joining us today in the show as well. That'll be around 11 a.m. Eastern time. So we've got a lot going on in the next 3 hours. So buckle down. Don't go anywhere. This is where you're going to want to be. And for all my friends over on X right now, I am sorry if you are not in the loop. I'm going to try to drop it on Rumble, of course. But I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. This is a reoccurring thing where we see these massive, massive hackings. Whether it's a hacking or not, we still haven't gotten confirmation, but I'll just kind of float that out there. That's possible because it just took down again a bunch of really, really important websites. So again, how secure are we when it comes to this internet war? But folks, probably not very secure. All right, let's go through the headlines though. Again, folks, we're keeping our eye in regards to what's happening at the White House today. Also, I feel like I shouldn't have to report this, but I'm just going to do it just to be balanced. Later at the UN today, Nicki Minaj is expected to speak. I don't know why, what level of expertise. I feel like we're playing this game like the Biden administration does quite often, but the Trump administration doing it as well, because she wants to go there and talk about Nigerian Christians being genocide. Again, I think it's a great topic, but I don't know what a rapper has to do with it and why her voice is so important to go to the UN. Again, that will be happening around 1:15 p.m. Eastern time today, so we'll keep our eye on that. We'll keep our eye on that. All right, let's shift gears up a little bit, though. While we wait for all of that to unravel, which is a lot, obviously, I wanted to highlight a couple of really, really important stories. Yesterday, you may have seen it. The Justice Department, according to a judge, a federal judge, this is the James Comey update for you guys. The Justice Department engaged in a disturbing pattern of profound investigative missteps. Again, that's according to the judge who's handling right now that indictment against former FBI Director James Comey. A federal judge ruled on Monday, directing the prosecutors to provide defense lawyers with all grand jury materials from the case. Again, that is a magistrate judge. They say it's a fundamental misstatement of the law by a prosecutor to the grand jury to indict Comey in September. The use of potential privileged communications during the investigation and unexplained irregularities in the transcript of the grand jury proceedings. The court recognizes that the relief sought by the defense is rarely granted, the judge said. However, the record points to the disturbing pattern of profound investigative missteps that led an FBI agent and a prosecutor to potentially undermine the integrity of the grand jury proceedings. So that's what the judge is sounding off on that front. And it's interesting to see because, you know, we've seen Comey's legal defense team try their very best to push back and try to get this whole case dismissed completely. I'm trying my best to keep everyone in the loop right now who's on social media because I keep getting these messages. Where are you guys right now? Folks, if you are listening only, you're on Rumble right now. Over at the Alex Jones TV, that's the Rumble channel right now. That's where we're broadcasting live. I will try my best in commercial break to post a tweet in regards to that. I think in our control room, you could probably post tweets and put that link up there as well, just so you guys could all see at home right now and keep us in the loop. But again, let's keep highlighting some of these important stories as well. Let's talk J6. So obviously James Comey again, trying to get that all wrapped up, trying to get that all tossed out of court. Likely not going to be the case. But again, the judge really going after the prosecutors in that. Let's turn to the J6 panel, the committee, the unselect committee, the committee we told you all about. Interesting enough, we were told, if you guys remember the theatrics that were taking place, oh my gosh, the theatrics were just out of this world, out of this world. We were sitting back and we were watching the first day when they did this public hearing. Dramatic, because you know why? They brought in a whole bunch of producers, which I've never actually seen before, but because they were trying to go after and target those who, you know, don't really know much about how government works. Maybe people with a very short attention span. They really did a big, big, massive production. But we're finally getting some numbers on all of this. The Washington Post, if you recall, reported that there was a projected budget of about $9.3 million. Now, that was laid out back in September of 2022, but according to a new review put out by the House, interesting enough, they spent, get this, $17.4 million. $1 million. That is completely mind-blowing. That is your money being shifted over to their dramatic, theatrical BS hearing that they did. It's just completely mind-blowing. As many of you know, there was even like an ABC producer who was brought in to help out with the theatrics. I mean, this was drummed up completely. So it's interesting to see. Congressman Troy Nels, a Texas Republican, who is on a new committee appointed by Speaker Mike Johnson to investigate security failures on January 6th, said the original committee didn't spend taxpayer money properly after the Center Square told him about the final cost of the panel's investigation. Nell saying they wasted it, he said, walking to the House at 6 p.m. Wednesday. Now, we've had Troy Nels on this show, obviously. You and I both know he was not a supporter of the first unselect committee on J6. He's also a former sheriff, so he understands this better than anyone else. So he knows how to run these types of things, and he knows what a security failure looks like. And he didn't back down. He didn't run up and curl up into a ball and cry on January 6th like everyone else did. No, he actually sat back and was trying to talk down to protesters and help them get out the Capitol. Can you imagine what could we have done with $17.4 million? I've got a lot of ideas. And it's not to some fake J6 committee. It's just so infuriating when you start going through all of the money that they spent and the fact that there was no actual credibility to any of this. I also want to talk about this because this was dropping yesterday. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna dropped this on X, and it looks to be true because the cameras yesterday were waiting outside to see whether or not Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were going to appear yesterday in front of the House Oversight Committee to give their deposition. But surprise, surprise, that deposition being about Jeffrey Epstein, they didn't show. They didn't show. So Ana Paulina Luna coming out and saying, no, they weren't here. They weren't here. And again, why aren't we even talking about this? Why are we allowing this to happen? I don't even understand. You know, if we're playing all by the same rules, right? If we give them a subpoena and they still don't show, you know what happens? Well, if we're playing by the same set of rules, what happens is quite simple. They all get carted off and dragged into prison. We call it the Peter Navarro treatment. The Steve Bannon treatment. But of course, likely not going to happen because there's been criminal referrals sent over to the DOJ previously. And guess what? No one's done anything about it. So we won't sell you on a dream, but the reality of it is they didn't show yesterday because they know they don't have to show. They know that this is the weak DOJ and this DOJ will do absolutely nothing. These Congress members, some of them, not all, some of them, though, don't have a backbone. Don't have a backbone. So it's truly not surprising that they just let this all pass by. Folks, if you haven't done so already, I want to remind you to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com because we're giving away a free $10, no minimum to spend. Now, this is going to end on the 24th of this month. For the next week, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you're going to get a free $10 that will automatically be applied. Of course, we already have incredible savings going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. This is just an additional one that you could tack on. You're supporting us. We're going to support you too. And thank you by doing just that. Also, we're still giving away that Jeep 392, it looks like, plus $10,000 cash. So when you sit there and you make a purchase online at thealexjonesstore.com, you're going to get entry into that contest. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com, methylene blue, so many other incredible things, colostrum, sea moss capsules. So many of you at home have been asking about these things and when we're going to bring them back or restocks. I know some things did sell out, like the colostrum did at one point. It's back. It's up on thealexjonesstore.com. Take a look around. I actually just got that ugly sweater. I might wear it on Friday, that ugly Christmas sweater. I just got that in the mail. It just arrived. I actually ordered it last week and it came really quick. So maybe I'll wear that to work on Friday. That's the one. My ugly Christmas sweater. It is very cute. It's high quality too. And I highly recommend you get it. It looks good on a small for me. So I don't know if that's a good judgment, but for the rest of you at home, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and shop around. We're going to talk a little bit too later on the show, but obviously the latest regarding Epstein, but I wanted to focus a little bit on the FBI right now because we're going to have a whole discussion about the FBI failures. But I thought this report was interesting. I actually spoke with Alex yesterday on his show. And in case you missed it, it was a phone interview where we talked about this because, you know, he told me, oh, this is Kyle Serafin put this out first. Now the rest of the media is catching up to it. But apparently Cash Patel's girlfriend, you know, the singer, the country singer, I've never heard of her music prior and it's not to be disrespectful. But the reality of it is that I really didn't know much about her until she started filing defamation lawsuits. So I think these defamation lawsuits are actually helping her and not hurting her in regards to people now being familiar with who she is as a person, obviously, as a singer. But apparently she's a country music singer. And she is apparently receiving a bureau security detail. Again, she's a girlfriend, not a wife, not a fiance. Although Cash Patel does describe her as being his life partner, but still has not put a ring on it. quite strange, you ask me. But apparently he loved her enough to give her a security detail. Now, again, this is quite strange given the fact that the security detail assigned to her is apparently the SWAT team out of the Nashville field office. So can you imagine if you really need like a SWAT team to respond to you and you live in the Nashville area? Sorry, can't. We have a country music, I can't even say star, singer we have to secure. It's all really strange. I mean, I hear she's a nice girl, but I don't like the aggressive defamation lawsuits, right? Like, you could sit there and say people are out there making claims, and yes, I totally agree that you should be able to set your record straight and go after people who are actively defaming you. But I mean, when you look at the Elijah Schaefer case, there's really nothing there of substance. In my opinion, it's everyone's just so trigger happy with these lawsuits these days. But it's quite strange. Again, this is like Cash Patel, man. I endorsed him. Happy to see him get nominated. I was, you know, talking to people who was like, oh, he's doing the vetting for everyone in the Trump administration right now. He's busy at Mar-a-Lago doing it. And I was so thrilled. But man, oh man, do I have like massive buyer's regret on that one. Let me just take a second to apologize. I told you Cash Patel was the only solution to reforming the FBI. And I didn't lie to you because I did believe it. But now I am taking that back. I think it's time for Cash Patel to go because he is using and clearly abusing his authority as the FBI director to give his girlfriend a security detail led by, apparently, according to reports, a SWAT team. Man, I couldn't have predicted that Cash Patel's fall would come this quickly. It's actually quite upsetting to sit back and see. His girlfriend could be the sweetest woman in the world, and I'm not going to go bash her personally. I just don't understand why we're allowing him to do what he does. You know, using the private jet. Okay, yeah, I get it. It's not illegal. It's not against rules, according to his team. But the reality of it is Cash Patel was so critical of it when he was a civilian, and Christopher Wray was doing the same thing. I remember him being on Benny Johnson's show and going after him. So, like, let's not sit here and make two sets of rules. Let's play by the same rules. You were upset because Christopher Wray was using it for personal use. And here you are doing the exact same thing. I'm not going to sit here and let up on this. You deserve the criticism you're receiving. It's not like you're being attacked for no reason. He has failed repeatedly to do his job, even coming out before there was even all the arrests made. And that, remember that supposed ISIS inspired terror attack on Halloween. There were literally over four people who were not arrested yet when Cash Patel came out on Twitter and put up that announcement. And we know there was an individual who was trying to flee the country after Cash Patel made the announcement. So, dude, I can't have your back in this anymore. We have to say that enough is enough and that it's time for Cash Patel to step down. It really is. He is a distraction right now and has completely diverted the mission. Folks, we have a lot more to unpack in just a little bit. Sam Shumate is joining me in a moment. You're not going to want to miss out on this because we've got more to discuss in regards to that Las Vegas cyber truck explosion that sadly the Department of War has now classified. But Shumate got all of the email details, so we'll break it down for you in just a few moments.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish DMOS. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. For those of you who maybe are searching and just listening to radio only, let me remind you to head on over to Rumble right now. We are live now that there's so many down websites. Twitter's down. ChatGPT's down. A lot of things are down. Citizen Free Press is down. Cloudflare is apparently down right now, and that's what's causing all of these issues. But we are live on Rumble. Rumble is still good. Rumble actually has its own, like, kind of cloud thing, so they don't really rely on anyone else. So this is the good part of having Rumble. So head on over to Rumble right now. We are live. The American Journal with Brianna Morell is where you could find us. We have the green check mark. That's how you know it's us. So head on over to Rumble and do just that right now if you're listening, of course, on radio. But you'll want to watch the show because this next segment is going to get very, very interesting. If you follow me on X, you probably realize I've been talking in regards to the Cybertruck explosion. If you recall, that happened outside of the Vegas hotel, the Trump Hotel, on January 1st of this year. A lot of people were, you know, they were paying attention, but they may have forgotten about it because the news cycle is very chaotic. It's very crazy. But this is one of the things that I don't forget. I actually have a running calendar where I keep everything to make sure I circle back on stories that might lose your attention. And this was one of them. I wanted to make sure that we stayed in touch and we understood what was happening here because, well, as many of you guys know, the Vegas Cybertruck that exploded on January 1st was obviously someone who was sounding the alarm, and we sat there, and I know a lot of us, we played clips on this network of Sean Ryan doing an interview, and it was a very incredible interview in regards to how Matt Leisberg was trying to reach out to the media, trying to reach out to anyone who would listen to him at the time to sound the alarm on something that was very, very important. So Sam Shumate
joined Sean Ryan and detailed an email that he received. And before we get to the content of that, I wanted to specifically point our attention to a very recent Vegas police report that just came out earlier this month. Now, in the report, I was going through it, and in the report, it was quite alarming because we learned that, according to the report, the Department of War actually classified the manifesto. Now, again, we don't know why they did it. And so I obviously wanted to give the Department of War all of the time that they needed to provide us with a statement in regards to that. As many of you guys know, I just recently received credentials to cover the Pentagon. I will be going there in about 2 weeks to cover the Pentagon. And so, you know, you want to give these people a fair shake. Well, sadly, they told me they'd get back to me with comment, and I followed up, and I have not heard back as to why it was classified. But it's very, very important to note that in this report that you see on your screen right now, it specifically says that the FBI notified him that the Department of Defense has deemed the manifesto classified, and Las Vegas police could no longer release further information to the public. Now, folks, why would that happen? Why would that happen? We're supposed to be in a very, let's just say, a transparent administration. That's what we were all told. You and I both were told just that. Unfortunately, though, that doesn't seem to be the case. We're seeing this on several fronts, this just being another. Joining me to discuss is Sam Shumate. As many of you guys know, he was the one who rang the alarms over on the Sean Ryan show about Livesburg and detailed an email that he received. He was trying to communicate with Sam, and he detailed just that. He joins us now. He's an intelligence officer and a chief warrant officer as well, retired, and he joins us now. It's an honor to have you on the show today, Sam, and we're thankful that you're here with us today. A lot happening all around the country, but I wanted to make sure that our attention didn't shift away from this story. This is a very, very important story, and you did an incredible job on Sean Ryan's show outlining an email that you received from Matt, and it was prior to that explosion that we saw outside the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas, and it came at a time, just to kind of bring our audience back to the situation, there was that New Orleans Islamic terrorist attack. Although the terrorist was American, he did run over, he used his vehicle as a weapon, and he did run over those who were celebrating New Year's Day in the streets of New Orleans. And so all of this was happening. And so I think a lot of people's attention kind of shifted a little bit away from this story. But Sam, I want you to outline and kind of give people a recap of what you remember, what took place, not only that day, but the email that you received from Matt specifically and what he was outlining to you.
Sure. And thanks for having me on. So I will admit that it's been about a year since this happened. I still remember all the details, but don't hold me to the fire because I have tried to avoid this subject like the plague. If you'll recall, right after this happened, No Name Like Me was attacked viciously by the entire internet for being a fraud and a liar. And then, of course, the email was validated and people said, oh, okay, this is the real thing. So it was something that I didn't care to relive a whole lot. But anyways, so like you said, Matt was trying to reach out to anybody who would listen. He reached out to the big names, Rogan, Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan found that email from Matt while we were in the middle of our show. They went there during the interim and found that he had messaged them from the same email account that he had messaged me. But Matt was somebody who claims he had reached out to me in the past. I ran a military page on Instagram. And so he was just trying to do anything he could to get this message out. Why he was so desperate to get it out, you know, that's just anybody's opinion at this point. But what the email itself, basically there was two components of this email, and they were it claimed gravitic propulsion systems on drones that we were using, the Chinese were using, and stuff like that. And that was my first hesitancy. When I reached back out to him, I said, dude, I can't go talk about this. I don't have any proof of this or evidence of this. I'm not going to be another UFO talking head. I didn't want to be in that realm of a guy who's just throwing stuff out there without evidence. But then he also detailed war crimes. And the really interesting thing that I took away from that was when they found out that I was going on the Sean Ryan show, because you'll recall I approached the Sean Ryan show because specifically he wanted it going to them, and I had a friend of a friend. So it was my friend knew their producer personally and got me in touch. But then I took it immediately to the FBI and Kyle Serafin got me tied in with the Las Vegas field office there. And so I told them, I said, I'm going on the Sean Ryan show. And they got that to the Army, told the Army. And shortly after, they started blowing up Sean Ryan. Like, he got, Sean said he got called by Tim Kennedy. He got called by several other big prominent names. He got called by the chief of the PA, the PAO of the Army. So the colonel that was in charge of public affairs in the Army to the chief of staff. And they were really trying to keep him from putting this information out. And then they specifically asked him, hey, can you redact names? Because some of these names that are in there are still operational out in the field. So that was really, that's the nuts and bolts of what happened.
Yeah, and I find this really interesting because, you know, I was trying to refresh myself and rewatch the interview. And you guys are going through how specific people were reaching out, trying to get their names redacted, because obviously, like you just said, they are currently active. But there was a massive effort, I remember at the time, to make it like a personal matter between Matt and his wife and possibly his son not being his. And it's created a lot of speculation. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to talk mainly about what was in the email itself, because now it seems like the manifesto, and I don't know, maybe you have some insight on all of this, but I don't know if the manifesto the Department of War has the same as the email you received, but now it's suddenly been classified. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. I've heard, and then once again, this is all speculation and conjecture. I have heard from online that there was another write-up on his phone that has not been released, and possibly that's the one that was classified. I've heard people say that it was the email that everybody's already seen that was classified, which is, I mean, that can happen. They can retroactively redact or, you know, classify something, even though it's out there in the public forum. It doesn't make it illegal for people to discuss. It just means it's classified in the total sense of the entire thing. So I don't know. I really don't know. But what I do find interesting is that, and I put a post up on this the other day. So October 27th, so a couple weeks ago, a news outlet, a very prominent news outlet, and trust me, I'm fully on board with the fake news out there. So I will say this is one of the more reputable ones in the world of fake news. But they reached out to me and said that they had some questions about the gravitic propulsion, because they specifically said over the last year they've had some interesting developments as they've been looking into things, and they want to follow back up on this story specifically about the claims he made about the drones. So that's something they're digging into right now. And then I think November 3rd is when the New York Post came out with the article saying that it was redacted that it was classified. And so I just found it very interesting timing that I had this prominent news outlet reach out, digging into that. And then all of a sudden, boom, we find out that it's classified by the military. So I don't know what that means. I'll leave that up to your viewers to, you know, wiggle around in their head and see what makes sense there. But just interesting timing.
Yeah, and Sam, you know, I'm a little disappointed with the Pentagon that when I followed up, actually, I reached out for comment, I followed up, and they didn't want to get back to me onto why this was classified in the first place. I think that in itself is kind of telling. Last I heard, they were reaching out to National Intelligence, and that was the last update I received. But I will, of course, be in the Pentagon very, very shortly. So that's a question I will bring back to their attention, because I think it's warrants the American people's rights to have some access into understanding why would you classify this in the first place. But, you know, when we look at the email and what was said in the email, is there anything in there? And because I obviously don't have the experience to speak to any of this, is there anything in the email itself that you think would be valid to kind of classify and to kind of not talk to the American people about? You don't want the American people to see.
Well, yeah, off the top of my head, and I have not looked at the email in a long time, but I do recall that he had given coordinates, and I looked them up personally, and that was to a facility in Nevada there. And I don't want to get the information wrong. I think it was maybe something that was in proximity to Groom Lake or something around there. But basically, it is factually a facility where drone warfare is conducted. And he talked about how he had been out there and that this stuff had been taking place. So that could be something that they classified because they didn't want that knowledge out there, even though it's common knowledge. It's open source. You can find this information, but he stated that specifically. And then detailing, I guess, maybe what the Chinese were doing, because I happened to see a clip yesterday and I saw the email being referenced, and it was talking about how the Chinese had submarines off the coast and they'd been launching drones from those submarines. So maybe from a operational security standpoint, interfering with operations we're doing in the national security space to combat, possibly, if that is real and that is happening, you know, but I don't know specifically. There was a lot of things in there, and it was kind of it really struck me as somebody who was on their phone, just banging out everything they could furiously, trying to get all their thoughts out. And so it kind of ran together. It was not a step-by-step, well-documented thing, but there were a lot of pieces of information in there that if they were true, yeah, they could be very concerning from a national security standpoint.
Yeah, and Sam, I get a lot of these emails too, where it's individuals trying to blow the whistle on things, and it's hard to verify a lot of this information, and it just doesn't make it easy to figure out, is this someone who is being truthful and really does have the facts to back it up, or is this someone who maybe is dealing with a mental health episode? And I know that was something that the media was trying to drum up, but I know that was also coming from the Department of, at the time, Department of Defense. They wanted to kind of spin it that way. So there's a lot of questions in regards to all of this. And, you know, as I'm sitting here and I'm watching your interview that you and Sean did, you know, there was kind of a question that the both of you floated out there at the time. You guys were saying, you know, he was driving a Tesla. Teslas do self-drive. He might still be alive to this day. And given the fact that when, you know, Sean was on a call with someone over at the public affairs office over at the Department of Defense, they kind of floated the idea out there that DNA doesn't match his son's DNA. And so that might have been something. The body that was recovered in the car was so badly burnt that it was harder for them to even ID, that they only had his ID badges nearby that they were able to use. And you guys kind of floated the idea that he might possibly still be alive. Do you still think that could possibly be the case?
No, and I walked that back the next day based on new evidence. Las Vegas PD came out very firmly and said, we don't know who put that out there, that the DNA did not match the son, but it absolutely did match the son. And really what happened with that is the chief of public affairs, why he said that to Sean, why he told them the DNA didn't match. I mean, just an off the cuff statement is mind boggling to me, because like I said, the Las Vegas PD said, nope, that's not true. It absolutely did match. It caused Matt's wife a lot of heartache over that. And he just flat out lied and made up nonsense. And he has never been held to account for that. So I don't know why. I would say my big concern is the video we've seen. And once again, this is not from an expert. This is just from a guy who's watching stuff in the same space that everybody else is watching stuff. But when I watch that video, I'm not seeing a weapon being discharged, especially a 50 cal. You would have seen something. You would have seen the back of his head disintegrate. You would have seen something. And I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing the explosion engulf him as his head turns. And I'm not sure what's going on there. As far as the Tesla people have said that it won't self-drive if you're not aware, if you're not focused, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what people came out with afterwards. But no, I personally don't think he's alive. What I personally believe, what I've held on to all this time, is that whether it was a mental break or not, Matt felt so passionately about this information that he wanted to send a message to get it out there. What people have always said is, if this guy wanted to create a mass casualty bomb or something of that effect, he could have. And you're right, he could have. He had all the qualifications and credentials to do so. He was trying to send a message. That's why the car was packed full of fireworks. He wasn't trying to kill a bunch of people. He was trying to create a spectacle so that his message would go out. But then again, I back off that just a little bit and say, there's no way he could have known that the email he sent me would actually go out. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was hoping what he had in the car would go out, but then too risky to blow up the car. So I don't know. There's a lot of loose ends here that really bother me. And I don't know. I'm just speculating like anybody else out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not alone. We are all kind of speculating and wondering what actually took place. And it's not fair. The American people deserve some answers. I mean, I understand that there's some things that they cannot tell us. I understand that. But the reality of it is, you know, they create their own conspiracy theories when their public affairs team goes out there and intentionally places false information in front of Sean Ryan and other media outlets as well. I've seen it time and time again. I was working on an exclusive story in regards to TSA, and I physically had a copy of an email, and they sat there and told me on the phone that it was false, and then gave me a statement that said it was false. And then when I pushed back and said, yeah, but I've got the email right here, we're still going to stand by our statement. So there's a lot of times when these public affairs individuals like to put out false information or like to see who bites them to discredit them. Yeah.
The military lying to the people is not a new concept. It's definitely a reality. And as an intel guy, I can tell you that most of what we have out there is overclassified. So yeah, just the whole thing.
Yeah, well, we're learning that more and more with Tulsi Gabbard over at DNI right now, and she's trying 100%. To sift through the information and declassify a lot that shouldn't have been classified in the first place. Since I have you here, and I know this is something that you're passionate about because I see your posts on X, I wanted to get your take a little bit about what's going on throughout the Middle East. The White House has welcomed in the Syrian president, is what they call him, although he is an al-Qaeda leader. Those in the mainstream media have really kind of shy away from addressing that. I sat back and watched as the left, the warmongers, and conservatives kind of refuse to talk about this guy's past. And I see, you know, Sarah Adams is out there like in 2021, he just came back to al-Qaeda and he was brought back into a leadership position. And now we're pretending like this is a president, somebody who's been elected to run Syria. What's your take when you sit here and you watch as the White House welcomes an individual like this in? Because I am just deeply concerned.
I was beyond disgusted. Yeah. When he had that man in the White House on the Marine Corps birthday.
Yep.
Wow. You want to talk about just being infuriated the day before Veterans Day? There's a viral picture of that guy going around holding two decapitated heads. That's who he was. The amount of service members that guy personally killed in the war in Iraq is who knows? Who knows what the overall numbers are? But that guy was a terrorist on the battlefield. And for Trump to have him in the White House on the Marine Corps birthday is shameful. That is our president. That is our commander in chief. For him to do that, shame on you, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Cannot believe he did that.
I can't believe he did it either. And we sit here and talk about Zohran Mahdani all the time and we criticize him, but at least we know what kind of monster he is. Unfortunately, I don't think the American people understand who this guy is. And they have just touted him as the next president of Syria, as if there's some type of democracy now in Syria. People saying, oh no, we're just trying to bring Syria closer to the West. They were just slaughtering Christians a few months ago. And we were sat here right. And we're reporting on it. So these aren't people who want to coexist with us. These are people that are trying to destroy us and actively do so. So it's really disturbing. Also later today too, looks like we're going to have the Prince of Saudi Arabia making his way to the White House as well, Prime Minister. So we're keeping our eyes on all of this. It's just a little disturbing to sit here and see as the White House continues to let these individuals in who he claims he wants to do business deals with, but I don't think that's what they're thinking on the other end of all of this. It's just to conquer and destroy us. And I'll get your take too, because another post went viral over the weekend in Texas. I live in Texas. I live in Plano, Texas, and we're watching as it's getting transformed into, sadly, an Islamic State is kind of what it's feeling like these days, because they're building these massive Muslim compounds with hundreds of acres. And they're building them up quite rapidly. We know over the last 2 years, 48 mosques have been built in my area where I live. And it's absolutely horrifying. You know, I've had my run-in with an Egyptian man, obviously, as many of you have seen on social media. Again, he's not claiming to be Muslim, but he somehow got into our country and then followed me into my apartment. And I tell everyone, this is what's going on right now in the U.S. We're not paying attention. These people hate us. They do not want to coexist with us. The only thing that got him out of that building was when I pulled a gun on him. And this is going to happen everywhere. And I don't think Americans understand how bad this is going to get. Sam, I'll let you have the final say here. But right now we have this happening, popping up all over Texas, all over Florida as well. But nobody wants to call this out. What's the future going to look like for America if this is what we're allowing in?
Well, the cognitive dissonance is that a lot of people know a Muslim and they'll say, oh, he's a nice guy, he's a nice person. I say, don't get the individual twisted with the religion itself. Islam is a religion. Its sole purpose is to conquer the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they have made it clear through the Muslim Brotherhood and multiple statements that you can recall and pull up on video that they are going to beat us at the ballot box. They consider it a jihad. They have called it a jihad that every Muslim must get out there and vote. Okay, so no bullets fired. They are going to conquer us at the ballot box. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing in Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn's gone. I mean, absolutely gone. But we're seeing it aggressively in Texas right now and the way they've rolled out the red carpet for that recent royalty that came in and everything else. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of Texas taxpayer dollars that are going into these different buildings and the stuff that these these folks are trying to build up and everything else. And then also the fact that they're making it mandatory that these schools serve halal food, that it's available for all students. It's a disgrace, because these considerations have not been given to any other faith or anybody else. But it's like we're rolling out the red carpet for this Islamic invasion. And I promise you, I've seen this. I've been in the Middle East for 20 years. Just because there are good people out there does not mean that the faith itself is not meant to destroy and conquer the entire world. That is their purpose. That is their goal.
Yeah. I keep telling everyone, my friends, I'm like, read the Quran. There's over 100 verses in there that tell them to commit acts of violence against non-believers. And unfortunately, so many people shy away from that. But again, that's what's going on right now in our country. And like you described, Plano police obviously didn't really want to investigate when they realized he was Middle Eastern and the man who came after me. But most importantly, the school districts are serving halal food all the time now. That's been a big thing. Our mayor taking a kneeing and showing up to Epic and going to the mosque. And by the way, our governor, Greg Abbott, also another coward Republican, shuffling yes. our taxpayer money over to the mosque. That was uncovered by the Rare Foundation recently, and they're not denying it anymore. But our money is now being funneled to these mosques that are popping up all over our beautiful state. So it's really upsetting. Sam, we can't wait to have you back on the show, because this is a topic that gets me fired up. Yes. I figured we hit the last few minutes with that. So thank you, Sean.
Let me say one more thing.
Sam, yeah.
Remove Abbott. Vote for Doc Pete Chambers for governor.
Yes. You have an We got to have a whole conversation about this, because there's so many great people up right now who are running here in the great state of Texas, like for AG, for an example. And we got to talk about this, because this will be a good discussion to have at a later date, maybe in studio in the future. Sam, thank you for joining me. Sam Shoemate, we appreciate your time as always. Of course, pleasure to have you on the show today, folks. We're still digging into this story. I will be at the Pentagon in just a matter of a few days. So when we do get there, I will be asking the Pentagon about this story, because it's not going anywhere anytime soon. We need answers. Again, I understand that there's some information that should be classified, but overall, the American people deserve to understand what happened that day and not be shunned from any more information. So we will do just that. Folks, a lot happening over here. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss, of course, into the second hour of the program. But in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because right now we're giving away a free $10 and there's no minimum to spend. This is going to end next Monday. So you're going to want to head over to the Alex Jones store right now. Whenever you make a purchase, you get a free $10 to automatically be applied to your order at checkout. So many incredible items that you're going to want to indulge in, of course. We've got the methylene blue, colostrum back in stock, the ultimate sea moss capsules as well. This is where you're going to want to go if you want to improve your health, over at thealexjonesstore.com or on the way.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
Yet he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.